things like that all come to your mind when you get old. Have steady on them.
Althea, I wish you wouldn't talk like that.
Why?
You can remember twice as many things like that as anybody I know.
Oh, I don't know.
I never saw anybody. Did anybody remember names like that?
No, I sure didn't.
And then they complain.
A lot of times I can't remember them at first,
yeah,
but I can finally get them manufactured.
Well, this Mrs. Graves was a close neighbor there, and she died, and she was a rich man. I was supposed to ride a horseback down to Laud, Indiana, and notify her people down there. So I got on to the mare and started for Laud.
How far was that?
That was about 6 miles. And when I got down there, along come, I hadn't seen an automobile before, nor neither had the old mare.
Oh.
It was up a bank about 20 feet high, and then a big gold rail fence. And she right, when Clyde Rich come along with Doc White's automobile, she right up over that bank and over that rail fence. I had to go back then. I had to lay down a couple rail fences to get back to the house. After I got back to the house and told them why, I had to go back then. But I was kind of jubilant about meeting old Clyde Rich again. That was the first time I'd seen an automobile or the old mare either. And it wasn't either one of us. Very good humor about it.
Well, kind of them automobiles to start with, they didn't go out much on the country roads.
they
stayed around town, didn't they?
They was just
well,
crazy.
That was right next to Laud, Indiana, just a little small town.
Yeah.
It was no big town.
You remember we started the Laurel one time is when we had our first car, and that's where we had Harold. Yeah, that's the Harold. 52 years old now. And you had to get out, or we did some of us in Fusio were able to get up a hill.
Well,
didn't have power enough.
I can remember when when old.
You know, I never rode in one of them old cars.
Didn't you?
No, I used to see them pass. And we used to talk about them, but I never was
in. Well, I got
I don't
think she's got one now, but
next year I don't have to pay
no
much of a tank.
20
years old.
Yeah. It don't cost very much for traveling around, only air, gasoline.
No.
Gas and oil.
Yeah.
What are you doing over here?
Oh, nice. Well, they charge as much for an old one as they do.
This year I pay 23, but next year it's going to be cheaper.
Oh, did you still have to pay $23 for your license?
$22.70.
Well, did they send them out to you?
Yeah, I asked them to.
Yeah,
Old man Lawrence had that foundry in Cumber City, Indiana. And he had one of the first Buicks to come back when it came out.
They run with a chain.
Run with a chain and the differential was up behind the seat. And his wife was blind.
Oh.
His wife was blind and she was riding on the left hand side, of course. And I was over in the field farming. And I heard him screaming hard. And I run out there and she's wearing one of these old fascinators, you know, like on clear down here. Mm-hmm. And got in the gear there and had her choked down to that old fascinator. Well, I got over the fence and cut her loose, the fascinator, and then I got a fence rail and straightened up the shaft behind there, and they went on towards town.
What?
The differential was behind the seat. It's only one seat.
What were we talking about while we go out there?
He's going to tell about that horse that he rode to where them people were.
Not the Lord.
Richmond.
Yeah. We lived on the, oh, that's the same place where a man...
The old horse jumped the fence.
Yeah.
Yeah, he drove.
And when they had the flu so bad, why, they both died and one of the children one night.
They had three children. And the one was just a little tiny baby. He never knew anything about his parents. His uncle raised him, and I think that the granddad raised the older one.
1917?
Well, I expect that's about that winter the pool was so bad.
Yeah. Sharpening irons. See, you can't take an auger and drill in frozen dirt. Just can't do it. And I had to make pins and then harden them. I'd take common steel, sharpen it, then I'd take cast and put it in the forge and run this cast over till it melted into that, and that makes it hard and thickened. And then we'd dry that down and then in small charge the dynamite to bust the graves, bust the frozen ground.
Your mother died the same winter, too.
Yeah, mother died the same winter.
I think she died
Crowell.
On your birthday, 27th.
Oh, she died. Crowell. Well, by God, it took about every other person around there for a while.
I was in bed for 13 days. Everett had had them. Something, I guess it must have been a few the year before, and he didn't have it very hard. The doctor said right away he wouldn't have it. But Arthur had it, and he had it only some of them bowels.
No.
Well, it didn't affect them very long because they didn't last long.
They didn't last long.
Some fellas, they just passed away almost walking around.
Yeah, he wasn't sick long. But
such big, healthy fellas, too. Look at that there.
Miller.
Merball boy, too.
Oh, Tom Miller. He's healthy
yeah.
Well. And he got it from Dr.
Well,
Ben Lindwell caught him
Henry
out on.
Henry Schultz's wife, too.
Ben Lindwell seen him out on the street, and Ben looked his hand and said, boy, he said, you can get up to the hospital right away. Because he didn't have much of a hospital, and... got him in the hospital, and it wasn't very long till dead. Big, healthy fellow walking around.
They just went quicker.
Ben told me to look down and said his nails here turned red. Ben had learned enough, you see, that he knows where to look for it. He's a doctor, a good doctor. But his dad was a doctor, and his brother was a doctor. Yeah, but he had one brother that's good for nothing, low down trash.
Yeah, the doctor's brother.
They had doctor's brother, yeah. I guess he's dead now, too, so both of them, Dave and Ben and old Hayes. I don't know whether he's ever a doctor or not. He tried doctoring out west. They said he used little rubbers and told people they had to pay for them. He put them little rubbers in capsules and they had taken them there, see, and then they'd pass them paper.
Oh, he was dirty.
One time Ben and his wife went over across, over in France and around there. He took old Hayes along. He said, well, he could keep him cheaper taking him along and he couldn't leave him at home.
I don't know. He bought coal one time and tell it on him. I don't know how so it is. He wrote out a check for it. Of course, he didn't have no money in the bank. And, I forget who the fellow was sold him the coal. I know who it was, but I just can't think of his name. Anyhow,
he took
the check back to him. He says, here, he says, you ain't got no money in the bank. That check ain't no good. So he says, you look at the date on that check, and there'll be the money in there when that date's due. You're two ahead of time.
You know, Pappy, I've noticed about if you date a check ahead and tell them to hold it for a week, they won't do it. They'll send it right on in.
Yeah.
I did that down at Wynn's one time. He wasn't pushing me or anything, but I don't know.
Yeah. What circumstances were?
Oh, I suppose they just put with the other taxis and did you have trouble about them?
No, his check went through, but another one bounced.
Oh. Well, that puppy means you can be good boys, maybe.
Well, they've got to do something with the postal business now. They got to straighten that out. When they get that straightened out, they got something else to straighten out.
I think they got enough there to get this war straightened out. They better let some of this other stuff go till they get that.
Happy? I don't remember hearing you all talk about the dairy in a long time. Don't you care for the dairy business?
Oh, dairy business.
You was in it a good while.
Yeah,
now, these fellas, you know, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, they was trying to get the price of milk up.
Oh, we used to take cattle to the fair at Indianapolis and different fairs around over the country.
Yeah,
our youngest son usually stayed wherever the cattle stayed.
Well, they showed cattle down at the state fair, and we were down there one time, and on the way home was when some fellow ran into the back of our truck.
It
rained a bit, Hunter, and I put off on the berm. You see, he's the father of my lights. I had the lights turned on.
Yeah.
And I got put off on the berm and stopped because the rain was so hard he couldn't see.
Yeah. It was
at that time, you just had to use your wind sweeper as your hand.
Yeah.
And I stopped.
And there was a lot of us in the back of the truck, and you know, we put a lot of hay and straw and stuff in the back of the truck, and I said before he hit us a while, I said, well, that fellow's going to run into us.
Yeah.
And it just burst his old radiator on.
Put the engine back up in the seat.
Then we hauled him to the next town, and then he was going to try to have us arrested.
I reported, I went to the police station, reported the wreck, and they just kind of laughed about it.
Never done nothing about it. What was not our fault? He just come up behind us and run into us. Please don't us go on, forget about it. Don't you run into anybody from behind? Huh? Don't you run into anybody from behind? You've had it. No. Yeah, no. Wasn't a thing? Yeah. Well, you see, he ran in behind me, and I just cut off of the road on the berm. Yeah. He was following my lights, what he was doing. It was pouring rain.
Like a pouring rain. Right.
What's the most cows you ever milk on?
He never milked any cows.
I expect 25.
Well, isn't that a pretty good number?
Oh, not according to what.
Not now.
Now.
But that bad.
At that time, I was about.
For a couple of years, I made that all into butter. One grocery there in Clumsy City, Yonsu's Grocery, they just went out of, the son just went out of business, just last summer. And I took as much as 200 pounds of butter a week, and I had it put in these pound packages like creamy butter.
Right.
We bought our cartons 10,000 at a time. Don't you remember? We could get them cheaper
that
way.
We had a box to put the butter in. And pine of wires run across, you know, and then all you've done is pump it, mix them up, and when you take your other thing and slide it off, I've made a...
Made 6 pounds you cut off every time.
6 pounds of the slip. And then you all you done put them in.
Wrap them in that parchment paper and stick them in the box. They had our names on and pictures of cows just like dairy.
Had your name on the carton? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
Yeah, get 10,000 a time, you know, it costs very much at that time.
And then I had 48 butter customers part of the time.
Oh, man.
And each one of them, nearly all of them, furnished a little jar. Some of them take 3 pounds, some two, and a lot of them took one. And these little jars were up on the bottom. They could write their name on the bottom of them and see how much butter they wanted the next time. If they wasn't at home, I just left the butter and picked up their jar. Their empty jar.
Did you?
I took as many as 17 gallons of buttermilk at one pool room in Clumsy City at one time.
That makes a noise.
What are you? Oh, he just recorded
that. That thing rattled.
I'm going to quit.
You didn't put anything in the butter to make it last the way they do it now.
Well, I didn't put nothing in it, but salt.
They put that embalming fluid in it now, you know. It'll last forever.
Oh, I know. I put salt and in the wintertime,
you never
always
had
put a little coloring in it, you know.
Yeah.
Make it sort of yellow. In the summertime, you didn't need it. It was kind of yellow when the color was on
the
ground.
Same with the same thing in milk, butter, and bread. It's embalming fluid. And it just makes it last forever. You don't have.
I don't eat none of that stuff.
Well,
you never have bread before.
No, it hardly ever molds.
No,
you can just keep it and keep it.
I know.
You just leave it out every once in a while.
Oh, goodness. It's killing the people by eating, isn't it? In bottles?
Well, that says you won't need to be embalmed on you.
Right, we had a churn that we could churn.
I never thought I wanted to be, but I
85 or 90 pounds of butter at one batch. Well, then the butter worker was right in the churn, and I'd draw the buttermilk all out and draw it out in pails. I put it in jugs later then, and put a couple or three big buckets of cold water in there and run that a little while, rinse the milk all out of it, and I'd drain that all out. Then I'd put my salt in and start the butter worker. The butter worker's right inside of the churn. Then it was just all ready to put in them butter tubs when I took it out of there. Each tub held 30 pounds. Each butter tub, they were square, you know, so as you could cut off 6 pounds each time. It was kind of an oblong shape.
Well, they embalm chickens, too. They put the hops on the one for them.
Well, I expect they do.
The only trouble, I work on a dairy there for a lot of years, too. And the only trouble we had
Section
we ever had, but it was just, it was bad. You had to be there.
Oh, yeah, I guess you did.
You had to be there twice a day for a cow.
Oh, yeah.
Every day.
And every Friday I delivered butter. Well, a lot of times they'd people call in after I went to town and tell them they'd like to have me deliver chickens and stuff the next day, you know. And a lot of times our daughter was just about 9, 10 years old. But sometimes she'd have 2 or 3 chickens clean, but I'd get home in town. Then I'd deliver them the next day and whatever other stuff I had to deliver.
How long did you stay in the dairy business, Captain?
Well, we didn't make butter that long.
No.
I'll tell you, one fall we went to California, and of course I had to quit making butter then, because Everett and his wife looked after things at our place.
See.
They just moved right over there. They had the 80-acre farm close to us, but then they moved right over to our place. I think he went back over to his place and did his chores, because that's the winter their second boy was born, DeWitt.
Well, now that way you can get away.
Yeah. And then the next winter, you know, when we went, Edison and Grace stayed there, and Joy was in high school then, and she stayed there and went to school. Helped her some with the work, too.
I got a letter from Edison the other day, Los Angeles.
Yeah,
see, he
been out there ever since before the
married,
war.
He married a wolf. First wife. Wasn't
a Wright.
Wright, that's it. Married a Wright. And,
Her mother married a wolf, her second man.
Then, they was out there in California, stirred up a mush somehow or another. Her brother was out there. And
he was in the army.
They started home. And on the way home, they got in a wreck and killed her. Well, then his boy.
He was hurt pretty bad.
He was hurt pretty bad, but he came home then and he went over and got killed over in Germany.
During the war.
He got killed in Germany.
I think
he was an officer. So Edison, this is his second wife. He worked for me for how many years?
Happy, that bull that gave you trouble that time, was that one of your dairy bulls where you had to fill in full of shot every night?
Yeah.
What was it?
Yeah.
What was that?
Well, the time I went back there, and bull had jumped, pushed the rail fence over and jumped over, and I went to get him back, and he made for me. Well, I just come to the house and got the shotgun. I wasn't going to fight no bulls. I wanted to be on even with him.
Is
but that time
the
he'd went.
One that creeped me up in there.
No, no, a different one altogether. This one was the Derby. And he'd went on up to Shopper's place.
By the time you got back with your gun, he'd gone on up to
So I went up there, and he's in there with their cattle, and I got him. Well, when I got putting the tree, he seen Nina coming, he began to start towards me, you know. I let him get about where I wouldn't kill him, and I give him a little shot right in his face. And he whirled, and then he began to dig towards home.
He went,
Then when it got back in the woods, well, he was going to stop under a shade tree, and I didn't leave him stand. I didn't aim to get up close enough, you know, so he had sprinkling pretty good.
But there was a lot of people around Columbia City that beef was shot in us, and we heard about it. We knew where they come from. We told him right away after that.
And, but when I was bleeding pretty well, I think I shot him 7 times before I got him back. And when
he went in the barn and there, he stood looking out the door.
You remember now, Elvis?
Oh, yeah, I remember all about
it. He was standing, looking out of the door. I was going to give him another shot.
I think the bull is the cutest one of them. I think he's just a boy.
They just
yeah.
can be
dogs on
me,
and
he
would
be taking over.
One of them is standing on me one time, and I was scared to plumb to death. I yelled bloody murder, and I knew that he was coming for me, and all the way you could do is just holler off of me. And so I did, and then he turned around the other way.
Oh,
boy,
was
I scared.
You hollered at him.
Oh, I hollered off of
me.
I don't even remember what
I said. Well, I tell you the truth. I think the best way to control an animal is with your voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, just speak up to him.
I don't know. I don't know what to do. That's just all I done. I didn't get killed.
somehow or other, I never pictured Pappy ever speaking to him. Now you didn't say a word to that bull, did you?
No. I expect you used some big dirty words.
No.
You didn't say a word to it.
No. But
you didn't raise your voice.
No.
Yeah,
well, I expect I did though when he was trying to get me when he made for me. I expect I got around some trees and I got over the fence and got away from him.
But you were moving. You weren't using your voice. You weren't talking to him.
I don't remember whether it's talking to him or not, but I wouldn't trust talking to him. I'd sooner use shotgun.
I would too. Come and leave.
But I had seen the mules.
Yes, I remember now.
I'd take the shotgun to get them up.
Yeah, tell that.
I had to. Well, the way it happened, Philip lived right across from where the pastor was. He lived across the road. The pastor went back east along the road. The road gone east and west.
Holy, I don't know what I'd done.
Old man Oliver,
he's been gone a couple of months.
Said that he'd
have
a man resting
with
his
gun.
Shooting his stalk. Well, about the only way you get them mules up and
what?
People out. You didn't even shoot them. You just shoot shotgun.
Well, there's
one
of your neighbors.
Yeah.
He didn't.
Yeah, so one of his boys was working for me. And he brought the mules in and showed a couple ears of corn in the feed box.
He didn't shut the
put
door.
Put the harness on him. He didn't shut the door or nothing. And he got the harness on the last one. Well, the mule says that's wrong, I guess. Off they went out of the door back in the field.
They didn't have much harness on me, though, when they got
him. And they had harness scattered all over the field, and he had his whole family out there, the girls and all, trying to get that mule. Well, the mules were just making foolish out of it. So I watched them. After a while, I took the shotgun. Went back, and when I got back there, they wasn't making much. Success of getting the mules, they couldn't get them to a lane or come up to the barn at all. So I went back there and I think it tickled one of them a little bit. They were already shot. They turned right around, went up the lane, went in the barn. Well, and they had the whole family out there hunting harness, and it scattered all over the pasture.
What do you say then, Pappy?
Huh?
What do you say then about
it? Yeah, you never said another word about it.
Guess you thought they needed
it. I think they needed. But I that same field one time I had it in hay when I was a mower. And I had to go to the shop and I made the third pitman shaft. When I got down to the fourth corner to the south and it turned that corner, they'd run them. Of course, it just had smooth bits on them. I couldn't hold them. Well, that drag was going too fast to mow, you know, and it'd drag up till they got a whole bunch of hay and then break the pitman shaft. I got up the other corner, I stopped. I didn't even own hitch from down. They just stayed there while I went up the pitman shaft and come back to the pen. Get it on there down that one corner there.
I'll bet one of them would get stung on that corner down there sometime.
I doubt it. It's just tricky.
So what'd you do?
Huh?
What'd you do there?
You went to town, man. You got a scorpion.
You got some
different
bits to put on them.
Yeah.
And all they done is grow on them.
Yeah.
Chewing bits. Forgot all about the running part.
Pappy, last.
I tore her off on a separator when they used to drive up beside of it, two or three horses' tails. One of them died. The other two got over by me. But the one for Kaiser got and died. Tore off too much tail, you see. The pulley. And no use in it getting close to it, driving up to the feeder on the separator. There was no use in getting up there, not because I wasn't paying any attention. That's the way it was with, when Wayne Schrader drove up that time at least. They were fine horses, too. But he had the doctor out right away, and they showed up some pieces back, I guess, and tail up in pretty good shape. It came out all right. That and the Kaiser, it was much more.
You know,
you just want to come up here, all three of you, just stand here and visit a little bit. That's all you want to do, just talk. Yeah. That old Dinkle and little Miss Pussy, Missy. Yeah. Now that's all they do, Pam, come up here to visit.
Mm-hmm.
That Dinkle. No.
You got snows on somebody
different, though. No, she don't care. He don't care. No, he's not really.
What else do you say?
My dad had a horse. I think it was a Western. It was a real nice looking horse. But it would jump any kind of a fence. You couldn't hold him in with a fence. And sometimes my brother'd have to go after him in the mornings, and he'd have to come across a couple of fences. He'd just stay right on his back and make him jump across.
Just a regular old wire fence, no?
Oh, they had mostly rail fences.
I see.
Oh, as long as I did, you run into all kinds of horses.
Yeah.
And all kinds of people. I know a fellow named John Roach. Got a big team in Apple Gray Edge. Make two of these.
Yeah.
And the one got so the other time I'd go to put a shoe on, or he'd just kind of want to check her out. I had to rasp leveling his foot up. I took him licked on the gut. Made old John mad. I did perfect little something I took him on. I did rasp, you know, he straightened up right away. John, he didn't like it. He let me know what he didn't. And I let him know if he wanted to make sure that I had couple other teams there to shoot. Busy time, you know, and thrashing time.
Yeah.
And they had to get on the road. I really thought you shot out shooting, but because I hate it. Not that much holes, you know.
That's awful, be out of water. That's bad enough here without going west, out west, you know.
Well, when we was up in Nevada, up close to Reno, well, we came to a place where they had a filling station. We stopped to get gas. All of the, it had been burnt over. All the whole thing, as far as you could see, was burnt over. And then they had wolves, I suppose, that they'd shot and that burnt over and hanging on trees that they were nailing, hung, and putting all the trees had wolves hanging on them. And mother asked a fellow at the filling station. So it ain't rained here lately. Says we haven't had a drop of rain in 4 years. So you know it was dry. 4 years. All they had was just palm leaves laid over the shade.
I see.
Over there someplace in the shop.
Well, I brought you those cans. I thought you might need them. I'm going to use them.
I brought one along back.
It's nice to have some. I stopped down there at
Paul. And it gets hot, I go about 15 miles and she would get hot.
Killing me. That's one of them things that bite.
And,
they sure can bite.
By George, I've done everything. And, changed the oil. Hopefully they get a little some poor oil. I drove me drive about 15 miles to tomorrow.
It's hot weather, then.
Oh, the wind come right to our
wind
back all the time,
man. Back, and the radiator didn't pick up wind enough to cool it. So I've had that happen several times since.
Yeah.
But I know what it was then, you know. But we
tried. But we needed sails on us when we needed a motor.
And after a while, I called in and I told Paul what my phone station was. I said, you've got to take a wind. Well, I'm over 9 and 14, right close to where we live. And in Indiana, I happened to be over there. I was going well from there. And I got the wind is from the south, and every car come through the boil. Well, maybe not everyone, but a good many of them would be a boil.
Well, now, Pappy,
wind.
I didn't realize that the wind in Kansas out in them states would be so steady, you know, like that. Like you said, you know, you're building the barn that holds the porch up, you know, on one side. No, I didn't realize that. It just keeps it blowing, just steady.
We was out there twice when we were building a dam out there. Really something.
Yeah. And I just out put them in dirt arts and went and got me some dirt. And it says there's sure cure for arthritis, so it's worth it.
Oh.
Make tea out of the leaves, he said.
Well, I know a lot of customers he'd have.
I'm going to try it, even if it kills me.
Dad and I worked on the nickel plate section. The road hadn't lasted too long before then. I drove a pile on the
He wasn't saying it.
Where my dad was. We lived on 12 miles of that track. And three of the keepers were bosses. On three different sections, 6 miles to a section. And his dad, Ed Harmon,
Bill Kiefer. They were Germans, and they were pretty bullheaded and pretty smart. And
he's about this tall.
And his dad and I, we had to pump a speeder.
He's older yet than Arthur. He's dead now.
We lived
his father and mother both
east of Peabody, 4 miles. And we always had to help pump the car and hand car down there, and then we'd get on an old cedar and pump it clear back all that distance, which is all uncalled for.
Arthur, and his mother must have been quite a little bit older than his dad. She was an old maid, that I'm anyway, she didn't want any children. And when this child comes, she wasn't backward about sin, because I'll tell you, I didn't want him. She didn't want any children at all. And that's the only one they ever had, this boy.
We worked on them sections and threw past where my dad's farm was, and Wolf Uncles was on the other side of the track. That had all been swampy in there. And they cut down ash poles, you know, and put them across this muck. And then they put cinders on them, a few, and go piling in. And finally they kept dumping stuff on them poles, you know, if they got filled up. And then they had to keep raising a track through there. And much of time as we had. I know these keepers, they thought they was pretty good men. They was bigger than I was. And this boy's dad used to lay a silver dollar on the rail and tell old Ed, when you take Kyler down, that's yours. He'd jump into it and I'd wallow him every doggone time. Finally, Brother Bill went. Brother went down. So we went down on the other section to do some work. We do have a whole gang, you know, together at times on different things. If the track was going down the place or something like that, because it's done pretty regular then, early days. First thing I'd commence. If I had a father, his name is Bill Blackton. So then old Eddie went to box. So I just watched, you know, and reached in between in the back of my hand like that and took his hat off. And then he boxed again, and I lost my chest, and I'd be able to do the right hand once and the left hand next. He didn't know which hand was going to take his hat off. And that made him kind of mad, and he began to come out in his fist. But I was taking pretty good care of myself, and old Bill Buckford took him to the car. And said, here, says, you ain't going to beat on that kid like that.
Mm-hmm. Arthur, down at the Bush School, you went to school there before I did, there was a sign out there, like a cross, like this.
Mm-hmm.
What did it say on that? I don't even remember.
Oh, 15 miles to Huntington.
Oh.
4 or 5 to Columbia City. And
so many to Fort Wayne, I suppose, because that was a long time ago.
Fort Wayne was 12 miles.
Well, the reason I went to school there is because they rebuilt the Jefferson Center.
Well, that was their address when I went to school.
I know, but you went to school before I did.
Kills.
He was just 5 years old when he went to school. Well, so was I. But then he was older than I was, so you didn't go to school there when I
was 5 years old when I started the school.
I can tell you what I could remember about this kid's dad. He'd get out there to where that thing was. I think it might have been my first term of school. And he'd read like he's reading the epitaphs off the tombstone. It kind of tickled the other kids, you know.
Well,
now, I remember
that
most.
Was a comic.
I remember more about him that way than anything else.
Get around that he could think of something.
And this kid is just great, big, tall fellow, too, and about that big around.
Really?
Like a rail.
Just go coon hunting one night and caught a coon. It wasn't. Oh, it was 2/3 gone. He had it by his back of his neck, you know, across the hips, you know. And, oh, I'm going to take it up and put it in a cage. Oh, all right, and we started on the dog from around and jumped up at it. He went and jerked the coon up like that and then he measured mostly out.
Did he leave loose of the coon then?
Huh?
Did he leave loose of the coon?
Oh, he held on to it.
Huh. Golly.
He's awful tall.
Kiefer.
He's awful tall.
I don't know anybody named Kiefer.
Kiefer.
I never saw that name down here, but there's so many names down here like there is up north.
Yeah.
There is some awful odd names to me. I think they're foreign names.
Ed, Bill, and Harmon are all dead. Ed killed and shot himself during the war. And the filling station on the south side of the Pennsylvania Railroad and on the west side of the road, and a big machine shop on the other side.
What did he kill himself for?
Huh?
What did he kill himself for? Was he afraid he's going to
kill
the army?
He drove up there. No. He drove up there and left his old car set without putting the brakes on or something, and it coasted down on the track. But when the train hit it, it was during the war. It was loaded with soldiers. And some fellow got off and he just tried to, well, anybody would see that was sabotage. And that scared old Ed down. He went home and shot himself, but he killed himself.
Why, Pappy?
Huh?
Good night.
Yeah.
Well, I expect he felt well, that, bad about
that fellow
it.
Was
he was a joke. That people are careless like that. I saw Harry get out of our car, and if you don't throw that latch over, why, the brake isn't off, and I could done the same thing the other day. Wasn't sitting on much of an incline, but the car moved a little.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw Harry do that several times. I was afraid he'd leave it and run down a hill and sometime or into a building of some kind. It's different than a lot of cars, and he just forget.
That's curious, how a car wagon or something like that will sit there, and then somehow or other, you know, it'll just sort of move on.
Well, it probably moves a little before you know it's moving, and it has to really get started before
yeah.
you really
just
know it's moving.
Don't worry about I got one right before this. The postmaster wanted.
We was down to Lawson's by all forenoon, burned her old ladders and junk.
Well, Bobby's friends tripped LBJ in 68, fan of the new left in the Democratic Party. A close look inside today's Congress. Effects of the Hall Dodd case.
When will they
aim to get it September, October.
If it's dry,
if you get I always fertilize mine. We had people that have been named Seavers, they always wanted to get into politics, always running for office or something. He got in as Henry, and he come to me and wanted to make an insurer. I said, all right, then it's you, I'll insure. I forget what it cost me, not so very much. And I put my wheat out right, and I got 40 bushels an acre next year. Wilf Fisher married mother's sister. He's a woolen mill man there in town. Of course, he had a big farm out of town. He was out there. He walked down along on Sunday, and gosh, he said, that's got any of my wheat beat. It was, it is dandy. I got 40 bushel acres off of it. And Henry Seavers, he just went in, disc yoke stubble, and put his wheat in, and never fertilized, and he didn't get nothing. Well, here I am. My money was helping pay for him, his neglecting his crop, for putting it out. Didn't put it out right. So next year when he come around, I told him to go to Thunder. I don't have anything to do.
Well, he's one of them fellows who's in with the head officials, don't you see? He can get his money out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, he was always running for office or something.
When did you put yours in?
Oh, I don't remember. Just what? I suppose on September, a lot part of September.
And you must have had pretty good moisture.
I had good moisture. I'd worked it down, got it solid.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple times before, you know, make it hold moisture. Gee, I had a cracking piece of wheat that time. I don't remember if I ever did lose a piece of wheat.
We had a piece one time, you remember, right south of when we lived on this place, right south or right west of the buildings a while. We got a freeze after the wheat bloomed. And it looked like it was nice, but when you went to a combine, it wasn't much wheat in it. Don't you remember about that?
I remember. We got a frost after the wheat.
In back west of that house a little ways.
In the spring. It was just a good November top of that frost water.
It looked nice, so
I dressed over there on that bottom ground.
I think it pulled that
over there by Urban Sales, where it was all bottom ground. And I was thrashing, and I couldn't. I set it back to Oak's weight, and half a bushel wouldn't hold it. See, it comes up and weighs it, you know, and tallies it. And I had to set it back less than 32 pounds, make sure the box would hold it, so it'd trip it, you know, so it didn't clog up the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it set, and I said, "Are you and me? You can't, nobody use that wheat, it ain't worth anything." Well, they called up Ed Metz, and he came out with his tester. And he tested it. I forget what it tested anymore, but he says, "There just ain't no use thrashing."
There was no food value.
It got froze in that bottom ground, you see. And the grains of wheat is white colored. You know, mm-hmm. You put your hand in it, it's lighter than oats.
Yeah.
But I believe that's the only job.
I believe that's the only time we ever missed to getting wheat where you sowed wheat.
Huh?
I believe that's the only time we ever missed to getting wheat where you sowed wheat. We've had times already where the wheat's pretty bad in spots and it wouldn't be so good. But we never had any like that any other time.
Well, when do you thrash it, Pappy?
Oh,
hardly anybody thrashes up there anymore. They combine everything.
I mean, combine
everything now.
Then they go in with their balers and bale up their skull.
When do you combine it?
Whenever it gets ripe, it's usually fourth part of July.
Long through July, generally.
When will it come up? Along in October?
Ten days.
Now, how big has it got to get before it can stand the weather?
Oh, well, it's up a couple inches.
That's enough.
Unless they have zero weather for a few days without any snow on top of it. If it's covered, that's a snow, it can stand a lot of cold weather.
Yeah.
If the snow on the ground, why, wheat will stand zero for a month.
Yeah.
But there ain't no snow on the ground.
It don't stand a very many nights.
Sometimes, but generally you get a part of a crop anyhow.
Yeah. How low can it take it?
Okay.
How far down can it go?
Oh, sometimes it gets below zero up there.
I mean, can the wheat take it if it's no snow?
Huh?
If there's no snow, how cold can it get and the wheat won't hurt the wheat?
Oh, it.
20?
It can freeze.
It can freeze and freeze fairly hard, but then if it go way down below zero, it might.
15 or 20 wouldn't hurt it.
No. It'll stand. We can stand a lot of cold if it's hardy in the fall year.
I remember one fall up there.
Yeah.
The, works in the cornfields. We are picking corn, just picking it off of the stalk and throwing it in the wagon. And it was nice and warm. And you had that old school bus, and you know, Oliver, old man Oliver, wanted to go into town.
Huh?
Him, old man Oliver and his family wanted to go into town, you know.
Yeah.
So old Mr. Oliver put his team onto the school bus. We went into town, and you know, it got storming while we was up there, and it just turned so darn cold that we had an old hen and chicken sitting out along the road under a bush where she had hatched them. And the old hen and chickens all froze to death that night. It was 11 below zero the next morning.
Yeah. Yeah, the road coming home. He said
he got off.
He drives his team. I seen it getting off the road, and I kept a hollering, G, instead of that. The kid wagon right over and rolled down.
Broke my
arm. Boy, and his whole side of his head, you're watching blue. Well, I had to have that kid wagon ready to.
The whole kid, the Monday morning, and that was Saturday evening. That was Saturday evening, and you had to have a
I had to have a bust the whole kids Monday morning. So.
I never got my arm set till 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon when the doctor got there. The roads, it just snowed and the roads and drifts. And Arthur's uncle finished bringing the doctor in his with a buggy and horse. He couldn't get through with his car.
That is one you put in after you take the wheat off.
Well, generally, a pastor. See, you sow the timothy seed in the winter or along towards spring, you sow timothy seed on it in clover, and that makes your hay then.
Mm-hmm.
For the next year.
Mm-hmm.
The next year.
Mm-hmm. You don't cut it in?
Huh.
Just sow it.
You sow it right when with the drill when you sow the wheat.
Well, you can. I have done that, but you can sow it. You don't sow the clover, you put that on in the spring.
Yeah.
And it takes in
one of them
wheat.
Little fiddler things and
mm-hmm.
so on.
You can sow the timothy, but I generally sow timothy and clover together, mix the seed and sow them together.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a system I never was acquainted with, you know.
How far north did you live?
Kentucky.
Oh.
Well, we have a head.
You better sit down so I can sit with you.
I see, all right.
You're going to get tired of that stuff.
Sit over here. Show you. San Diego exhibition. We was out there when they had an exhibition out there. Oh, yeah, this is the whole book. Goodness, man, that's a big place.
We went out there one time right after the fair was over, the World's Fair, and then they continued it the next year again. We went out that winter. There wasn't so much going on while we was there, but then.
This all worked for me a long time. Who's that out there? Edison Dial. This is his second wife.
I have to see.
Just got a letter from him the other day.
That's his first wife.
Huh?
That's his
all
first
right, ain't.
That's Grace. What's the matter with you?
No, it's not Grace.
Oh, Christopher. I'll have to go hunt up the picture of him and his second wife, man. So
oh, this is his second wife. Abby, he's pretty young there.
Yep. He worked for me a long time before he went to California.
Edison Dial.
Yeah, Edison Dial.
I believe that's his first wife.
Huh?
I believe that's his first wife. He's so young there.
Well, his wife was leaving him, him and his brother, during World War II. And hit her brother was to come this way and they got an automobile be right and killed her, his first wife. Well then, of course he had to go over in the army, and he got killed over in Germany.
And that was this fella, Edison Dial.
Yeah.
That's him too?
No, this is John Proxton, his wife. He's been all, he's a soldier, yeah. He's been all through the war. Brother Willie spent 3 years and a half in the Japs prison.
Oh my.
He said they had cats and dogs and monkeys and anything they could get a hold of.
Hmm.
He's still living though. That's my father's brother. That's third one, youngest. That's his daughter. He come up missing, never knew what to come of him. Went out west. There's one, I don't know who it is.
He's all dressed up here in that hard collar, Arthur.
Yeah.
Striped.
He went around a shaft at Arcoli, Indiana, went around an elevator shaft, but quick. Broke his legs and broke him all up and burnt him and tore his clothes off and finally fell down. By golly, he pulled through it, though.
Hmm.
That's a place up in Michigan. That's Alfie's sister standing there, but she's got her looking the other way. Can't tell who she is. That's a couple of our youngest kids. Here's a fella selling a boar, Ed Grisby. Here, auction here.
Nice looking hog,
Yeah, yeah. I don't know right where the farm is that they was on. I don't know where that is from. This is one of our kids, I suppose. Doesn't know what to tell.
Yeah, where's that ticket?
I don't know. Well, that's taking, I think, out in California.
That's just a picnic out in the picnic ground?
There's some of the big deers that run them things at Boer Dam. See, we were out there at Boer Dam.
Mm-hmm.
That was where they turned them 30-foot pieces of pipe, 30-foot in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
30-foot in diameter. There's a picture of the dam. Colorado River. I was there twice. Now some of these, I don't know who they are. There's my brother next to me and his wife and boy. He's younger than I am.
Now, this is your brother?
Yeah, he's been dead a long time. This is my uncle and cousin.
The little boy looks very much like him.
My grandmother, yeah. Well, he's still a little boy, is. Timothy. This is my mother's mother. And I suppose that's Ralph's boy.
Now, that picture's in a different box.
This is my mother's brother here.
But I know that said it's an engraved. But this is a son that passed away. But you see, this one wasn't on this picture. That's his three oldest children. And this one was, I think this one must have been about 8 years old, 8 or 9 when this one came along. Now, he's 22.
Yeah.
He'll be 23 in July.
Yeah.
This is the one that's still going to college.
Mm-hmm.
That's my uncle. He taught school for around 20 years.
You know,
that's nice.
I think I'm...